friends. Jennifer Konweiler here, your host of Introvert Ally. Before we kick off season four of the podcast in January, I wanted to share something special with you. Recently, I was invited to be a surprise guest on the award-winning podcast Proxy, hosted by Yoei Shaw. The episode was called The First Ever Introvert-Extrovert Cage Match, and it turned into a really honest and heartfelt discussion about our differences and our deep connections as introverts and extroverts. Together with Yoei, Ryan Letts, and Aparna Nancheria, we explored what drives introverts and extroverts a little crazy about each other, what we secretly admire, and how we can find understanding in the middle of the mess. There was laughter and reflection, and yes, even at the end, a few tears that you may catch. I walked away reminded that when we stay curious about people who see the world differently, we can open the door to real connection. If you've ever wondered why your opposite friend both grounds you and may drive you a little nuts, this one's for you. And if you enjoy Proxy's storytelling and Yoei's unique approach to what she calls emotional journalism, I encourage you to support her and her team. We will have links on the show notes in ways that you can subscribe and listen and also donate. So settle in and enjoy this special crossover episode from Proxy. The first ever introvert-extrovert cage match with tears too.
Welcome to Proxy. I'm Yoei Shaw, your emotional investigative journalist. So I've got this friend. I love her dearly. I've known her a bunch of years. She's one of my favorite people. But there's this fucked up thing about our friendship, which is that when we hang out, it's always a coin toss whether I'll be able to stand her. Okay, that's being a bit dramatic. What I mean is, she's a major extrovert. I'm a major introvert. So when we hang out, the energy is sometimes just off. I never know. Will there be room to be my slow, quiet self? Will I wilt under the heat of her extroverted gaze? Will I wish I was back in bed alone? But sometime last year, we had this one glorious hang, which I wish every time could be like. It was effortless. We were seamlessly on the same wavelength. And the only reason it was so great is because just the week before, Donald Trump had been reelected. And so my friend was completely fucking depressed. So there we were, walking side by side to get ice cream. The specter of this terrifying future hanging over us. And for once, my friend was giving me all the room I needed, because she could barely muster words. I told her about the fight I'd just gotten into with some asshole. I told her about losing my luggage. I told her about how I'm entering my villain era. I felt heard. I felt, for once, like I was the funny one. And it raised this question, something I think about every time I hang out with her, which is, what do we do about this mismatch between introverts and extroverts? Do we really need horrific historical events to get us in the same energetic space? Can there be another solution for getting along? Today, we are going to bring together these two adversaries who historically cannot understand each other. On one side, we have Ryan Letts.
You know, I'm nervous.
Ryan is nervous because they're an extrovert who has some serious beef with introverts. And Ryan will be sitting across the proverbial round table from one of them. And she's also got beef. Her name is Aparna Nancheria.
Hi. Hi.
You might remember her from our episode, Aparna and the Self-Loathing Introvert. And like me, Aparna sometimes has a hard time hanging out with her extroverted friends.
Even though I love you so dearly, it does feel sometimes that we're never fully going to get each other.
So what we're going to do in this special Proxy conversation is air some never-before-heard grievances We're going to ask the questions we've been afraid to ask our own friends. And because this will surely get ugly, a little later, we will also be welcoming in a peacekeeper, someone who's made it her profession to help the two sides coexist. Okay, before we enter the ring, a heads up. There is no one agreed upon definition of introversion and extroversion, but in this episode, we're going to define introverts as being more oriented toward their internal world, while extroverts are more oriented toward what's happening outside of their heads. Introverts tend to prefer quieter, more peaceful environments. They often need alone time to regain energy after they've been around people a bunch, while extroverts tend to be more outgoing, sociable, and expressive. But yeah, prepare yourself for some major generalizing. And like, you know, not all introverts, not all extroverts. All of this overlaps with a bunch of other personality traits. It's complicated. Let's enter the ring. Okay, so today we are taking a historic step in introvert-extrovert relations. Why don't we do a round of introductions?
Ryan, do you want to start us off? I don't want to be presumptuous, but should the extrovert start?
Maybe we should subvert stereotypes and have you start, Aparna.
Okay. My name is Aparna Nancherla. I'm a writer and performer and comedian based in Los Angeles. And what kind of introvert am I? I guess I'm just someone who is on when I need to be on. And then the rest of the time I'm powering down like a computer or a cell phone that needs a recharge.
Hi, I'm Ryan Letts. I also live in Los Angeles and I am a psychedelic integration coach. And the type of extrovert that I am is that when I go on vacation, I have to see at least one or two people every day, new people or old friends.
Wow.
Okay, well, Ryan, Aparna and I, we met through a previous episode where we discovered that we both share some stress about the extroverts in our life. But I want to start with your extrovert hangups about us introverts. And I realize I'm putting everyone in boxes. We all know this is a spectrum. Most people fall somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And we're being incredibly reductive for the sake of a podcast.
As we must.
Okay, Ryan, tell us what you don't like about us.
Yes, my hangups are I tend to have a wound around introverts that participate in the practice of either ghosting or poor communication, consistent canceling of plans. It really has invaded pretty much every area of my life, like socially, romantically, professionally, truly every sphere, where I'll connect with somebody and I'll be like, oh my God, lightning in a bottle. And either professional rejection, personal rejection, romantic rejection. And it has created this like very intense protective energy. I mean, if you really want to get woo-woo, like my mother is exactly the same. Like she has an inexplicable ability to maintain friendships that she's had since she was 5, 10, 15. So I grew up in Burbank here in LA. My mom grew up in Burbank. My grandparents are from Burbank. So that has allowed them a very specific privilege of maintaining friendships because they've basically lived in the same area their whole life.
Yeah.
And so I think I inherited this from my mother, the desire to maintain these friendships over long periods of time. There's almost like an ego that I have around it. Like, oh, wow, I've had this friend for so long. And it's just been this perpetual cycle of I make a friend, I fold them into my Rolodex, and I make plans with them. But I fully believe that we teach people how to treat us. And so the precedent and the standard that I've set for people is that I'm the one that reaches out and I'm the one that makes plans. So I think people start to expect that. But then because I have this, you know, not to get all therapy speak, but I have some core wound of abandonment, I start to sense that their energy is backing off. And so I do the anxious avoidant thing where I just latch on even more. And that's when I start to freak out, where I'm like, wait, does this person not like me anymore? Did he do something wrong? How do I figure out if I did something wrong? And then we also live in a completely conflict averse culture. So yes. It's just like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
But my theory is that because I require so much energy and introverts tend to require less, there's just this like mismatch that's been happening.
Can you give an example?
I absolutely can. I have a whole roster. I live in Los Angeles, as I mentioned, and despite having grown up here, I do occasionally get kind of caught up in meeting celebrities. So I met someone that I had recognized, and we like spent 3 hours together, and we just talked to nobody except each other. And I was like, I'm going to be friends with this gorgeous angel of a human. And we literally looked in each other's eyes, and we were like, we will be friends. And never heard from this person again. One text was exchanged, and then outside of that, never heard. And that's just, you know, one of myriad examples.
Is that like the friend equivalent of a love bomb?
Yes.
Is that a platonic love bomb? That's my understanding of what love bombing is. It's like really investing emotionally in someone and then kind of just being like, just kidding.
I think in this particular instance, I want to give this person some grace and say that we were at a birthday party with a bunch of other actors, and they were
okay.
On. I'm not an actor, but they were. I'm sure you've been in that position, Aparna.
I have. Yeah, it's a lot of. It's a strong energy because I think everyone is kind of grappling with how am I presenting and who am I in this space, and we all do that all the time. But if you're a performer by trade, I think you heighten that to even another degree.
Yeah. I think my hangups might actually be more with just actors. And I say that with the ultimate amount of compassion and empathy for people who have to deal with that amount of rejection and like the unstable schedule.
Yeah. Cause I think a lot of times I've found with actors or even with other comedians, like I think they can read how you want them to show up. So they will meld themselves to what you want them to be in a scenario, and that may or may not be what they actually are baseline. They're like, you want this type of show, I'm going to give you this type of show, and I might not be this person at all actually, but aren't we having a great time right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is your craft, it's an actor's craft to read the room, to be able to respond energetically.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say. No one wants to look at someone at a party and be like, I just want to let you know that I'm being really, really extroverted right now, but I will never respond to your text and I will never see you again.
What's striking to me right now is I've had that same experience because I think I almost come at it from a different angle where I'm at a party. If I click with one person, I'm like, okay, you're my person because this is not easy for me. And, you know, I latch onto them like a baby duck and imprint fully. And then I assume we have like a deep connection that transcends time and space. And then for them, it's just like a party. And I'm like, but our souls intermingled. But okay, I guess not.
Aparna, do you feel like you've been the friend that Ryan's talking about who's hard to get in touch with?
I guess I do relate in that I feel like with certain friends, and they might tend towards extroversion. I'm not sure how to categorize certain friends, but I do think sometimes I can get increasingly reclusive, or if I'm stressed out, just not respond to texts promptly or just kind of leave people hanging. And I think it's communicating, and then I realize it's not giving them anything to work with. Because I think what happens for me is I get so overwhelmed that even the idea of sharing with someone that I'm overwhelmed feels too overwhelming.
Can I ask a question, Aparna?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of alluded to it, that there's the notion of expressing that you are overwhelming feels overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is there another fear? And for the record, I'm not like coaching. I'm just trying to better understand.
Sure. I do think I just have a fear of like putting too many cards on the table or something, where I'm like, if this person knows this about me, or like if I give them an inch, they're going to want a foot. So it's like, if I tell them a little bit, then they're going to want to know more. And I don't feel capable of telling them more right now. So it's almost like predicting how much energy a person might require, whether that may or may not be accurate. I'm sort of presuming for them, but then being like, I don't have room to give them that much energy, so I'm going to give them nothing. Versus like, let me at least give them a little something to, so they can know what's happening.
One thing I've heard from introverted people is like, if I text, that means that I'm going to get another text. So what it sounds like is like, if you tell someone that you're feeling overwhelmed, it's going to open up this like whole can of worms.
Yeah, I definitely have made the move where I avoid texting someone. Sometimes even when I want to text them.
Yeah.
Just because I want to not be asked to hang out. You know, like I don't want to invite more connection than I can offer at the moment.
Yeah. I feel a little duplicitous because I feel like it'll go both ways for me where I'll do that to someone. And then if they do that back to me, I'll be like, well, what do you have going on that's so important? You know, like I'll not give them the same grace I'm giving myself. And I'm like, I'll check myself on it. I'll be like, that's not fair. You do the same thing all the time. And I think it is maybe related to one of my core wounds, which is like, when I am ready to show up, why aren't you ready and waiting for me? Because it's like the window is so narrow.
I feel like I don't often share that much. Like it takes me longer to talk about what's really going on with me. Yeah. I need to be drawn out. Someone needs to like throw down some rose pad. Like it just, it's a whole affair. And so then when I do share something, I really relate to what you just said, Aparna, of like, everyone needs to pause what they're doing. Yowei is saying something personal. Yeah.
It's like, we think we're like oracles. It's like when we speak, you better be taking notes.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
This is really fascinating. This is really painting a very vivid picture.
Aparna, are you ever the friend who consistently cancels plans?
I've been working on not overbooking myself, but sometimes even when I'm being mindful of that and make plans and then have to cancel for whatever reason, what I've tried to do now is immediately been like, but can we do this date? Like, I don't want them to feel so rejected. It's not that I don't want to see you. It's that something didn't work out today.
This is exactly what I was going to ask for as an extrovert. And I want to be explicit about the fact that I completely understand. I mean, I have to cancel plans or move things occasionally. Mm-hmm. I am very understanding that people don't have the same amount of energy as I do. But if it continues to happen and it's a repeated pattern, that kind of gremlin comes in that says, this person is not being truthful. And this is the core wound of like all the times where that's actually happened. So Aparna, what you just shared is beautiful. What's important is that I know that this is not this person just gaslighting me and like punting things down the line, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, now for a hard question. Aparna, when we talked before, you said that you have let relationships with extroverts fade, which is something I have done as well.
I think sometimes I've had point of friction with an extroverted friend and they just process conflict differently, where they maybe go more outward and speak more hastily. And I think that will shut me down and kind of be like, well, there's no way this friendship can continue, like kind of writing it off unfairly just because we process conflict differently.
Maybe the question is, because I've been on the receiving end of this. So do you leave people on read? Are you like, I simply can't engage? Or do you say things like, I can't be friends? Like, what does that look like?
I think it's more that if I go to someone with a conflict, I will feel so vulnerable because that is so uncomfortable for me. That's so outside my zone of what I think is okay or feels okay, that when they aren't receptive at all or they're immediately defensive, I sort of like maybe react unfairly, which is that I'm like, well, why aren't they just like hearing me out? Why are they immediately like throwing this all back in my face? And then I think that causes me to shut down and maybe walk away.
If I can share from my own perspective, the like not knowing is so much worse than the receiving of I don't want to be friends. Like, although, you know, I've been on the receiving end of friendship breakups, the worst ones are the ones that I've been ghosted and I'm like, I'm not even worthy of this person having a conversation with me. I'm not even worthy of the person setting a boundary or like telling the truth. And I know it's typically about the other person, but it does like make me very squishy.
Yeah. I know the ghosting, I am like, that's too much. I can't do that. But I do feel like I've employed the slow fade. But yeah, ghosting completely, I'm like, kind that's too much. Because that's happened to me. And it just, yeah, if you feel like you're in outer space, you don't know what is happening.
Okay, I have definitely ghosted. And I know there are introverts who are good at boundaries and being direct. But I think for me, part of the problem is that it just feels really hard when it feels like I'm saying to an extrovert, essentially, you're too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's too much eye contact. It's too much energy. It's too much talking. Because like, I have extroverted friends who've told me they have a wound around being told they're too much. And like, I don't want to inflict that kind of pain.
I was thinking like what makes me kind of feel very safe in extrovert friendships. And I think for me, it is that I do have some extroverted friends who are always like, oh, sorry, I'm talking so much. Like you haven't talked at all. I feel like I'm hogging the conversation. Whereas for me, I'm like, actually, this feels great. I feel like I can not have to worry about how much space I'm taking up and you're filling the energy and I just enjoy spending time with you. So I think that's actually sometimes a really nice thing about my extroverted friends where it might seem to them like they're being too much. But for me, it's actually sometimes it's like just right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking of some of my extroverted friends where you really get to sit back and just like watch a show when you're with them.
Yeah.
Which is such a gift. And it's almost like you get to like pillow princess the social interaction.
Not the pillow princess.
But I think the flip side of that is that when I maybe fade out on an extrovert friendship or I'm not like showing up the way I should, I sort of overassume, oh, they have a billion other friends. They're not even going to care. I barely bring anything to the table when we hang out. I sort of navel gaze maybe in a way that I'm like, they're not even going to register this.
Despite the fact that we're on kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, it seems like it's all rooted in the same thing, which is like, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough.
Totally.
Seems to me that it's just like, you know, I'm a worm.
Yeah. Mm.
It just boils down to I'm a worm.
Well, at this point in the conversation, I was expecting things to have come to blows.
I can say shitty things. I mean, I could be like, text people back.
I think that's fair.
Totally fair. After the break, what I can't stand about you and what you can't stand about me. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so at this point in the conversation, things were getting pretty heated. So I wanted to welcome a special guest to the ring. Someone with decades of experience negotiating peace talks between introverts and extroverts. This person had been sitting in the call, camera off, listening up until this point. Jennifer, do you want to unmute yourself and come on camera?
Oh my God, I've been dying to. This
oh my
extrovert.
God, she's been here the whole time.
I know, this is quite a reveal.
What a wonderful conversation. Plus, I'm learning some new terms. Pillow princess, love bomb. I love it. I'm going to ask my daughter in Los Angeles.
Okay, well, Jennifer, can you introduce yourself and why you are qualified to be a proxy on the subject of friendship between introverts and extroverts?
Well, I'm Jennifer Conweiler. I have my doctorate in counseling psych and organizational behavior. And I guess you could say my calling has been to understand introverts and extroverts and how we get along or not get along. The focus has really been on amplifying introverted leaders in organizations. So I've written 4 books on topics related to that, on leadership, on influence, on how teams work together with introverts and extroverts. And I guess my real qualifier for being an introvert ally is that I've been married to a very, very strong introvert for, let's see, 52 years.
And you identify as an extrovert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Jennifer said she's such an extrovert that even little kids call her out. One time she was walking with her granddaughter, who was 3 or 4 at the time.
I was just babbling, you know, just babbling. We're going on this path. And she goes, Nina, she calls me Nina. Just talk in your brain. So that's what I try to remember when I'm just wanting to verbalize what every single thing I'm thinking is, like, talk in your brain, Jennifer.
Well, so you've been listening this whole time and taking notes.
Oh, gosh, you should see them.
Do you have any initial reactions?
So I think to Ryan, so what you were saying about, you know, people not following up with you, what I have learned from an extrovert point of view, introverts need time and space. Mm. One of the wiring differences that we have is that introverts value privacy. So they will share about themselves after they get to know you. But extroverts connect by learning about you. They want to get to know you. That's why we're disconnecting so much, because we're trying to read your facial expression, for instance, and it's just what we used to call in counseling a flat affect, like nothing, you're not giving me anything. Mm-hmm. And I've done this when I've given speeches, and that, let's say when I started early doing public speaking and people didn't respond, I would just go faster and faster, like a hamster in a wheel. And that was even more of a turnoff. So I think we do that in some of our behaviors as extroverts, because we're trying to get introverts to engage with us because we're good at getting people to open up. But when they don't, it's very challenging.
Yeah.
Jennifer, why do introverts tend to have a flatter affect? That resonates with me, but, like, I don't get why.
You know, you're in your heads, you're thinking, so you're not thinking about what your expression is right then, because you're up here.
I feel like I've had multiple times lately where I've been in a conversation with someone and then suddenly I'm like, what is your face doing? Like, you haven't been paying attention to what you're doing with your face for like the last 5 minutes.
Once you're aware, right, then you can see it's not personal. Like with my husband, once I learned that he's just shutting down, then I could just kind of go do my thing and not sitting there being pissed off and continually ask him what's wrong, which is like the worst thing you can ask an introvert. Nothing's wrong. They're just in their heads.
Okay. I now want to move to the buzzers.
Okay.
Okay.
Can everyone push your buzzer to make sure it works? Okay, so here's the game I want to play. I'm going to go around and ask everyone what your biggest pet peeves are about talking to the other side. And for the rest of this conversation, if you notice yourself or someone else commit one of these pet peeves, hit the buzzer and then we'll pause and talk about it.
Oh, this is stressful. I'm like, wait, I thought we were trying to build bridges here.
Ryan, let's start with you. What are some things that stress you out about talking to introverts?
Not being able to read them, feigning extroversion, people that I can tell aren't actually like genuinely wanting to follow up.
Aparna, anything that bothers you about extroverts in conversation?
Yeah, I think just that their energy can be sort of intense. It feels like they're expecting a performance from you. I think I sense that need from them. You're with me. Things are happening. The world is moving and shaking. What are you bringing to the table? Maybe they want me to be a certain level of interesting that I don't always feel like I can meet.
Okay. Jennifer, what about you?
Well, I have one that really is my biggest challenge with introverts still, is to speak up. To speak up from a work situation, as friends, not saying what you feel. Mm. It's the most frustrating thing for me, because I can pull it out of you probably most of the time, but I don't want to do that. I want you to have your voice in the room.
Jennifer, you mean not like literally volume-wise, just feeling empowered to speak?
to say your truth, right? To say your truth. We're happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
But we don't often give you the space to do that because we're not comfortable silent. So we keep running in. Well, they also, introverts, and you guys can tell me too, think that we don't listen. And that is one of our fatal flaws. We don't listen well.
Just to interject, I will say I have several extroverted friends who have told me the same story like 5 times. And sometimes I'll just be like, no, I haven't heard this before, because it almost feels like greatest hits to me. I'm like, oh, I know this one. And I can kind of sing along. I'm not always like, oh my God, you don't remember that you told me this story before?
Jennifer, not speaking up, not saying your truth. Why is that associated with introversion, though?
So many introverts, and this starts from a young age, because they're internal and they don't get the practice. It's always incredible to me how insecure they are about speaking up. And then I think about it, it's like, no, you haven't had a chance to learn this. If you don't get the opportunity to practice how to say something, for instance, in a conflict like we talked about, or when you want to say no, to say, I'm busy or I have plans, rather than go through a whole rigmarole. All of these things are just your muscle that's getting stronger as you're doing it. Many of us extroverts have, because we react and we're verbal so much, we learned the words to use. We've put our foot in our mouth enough times, right? I mean, I'll speak for myself, Ryan.
That's a story for another day.
Okay, just to finish going around saying what our pet peeves are. Mm-hmm. For me, sometimes with extroverts, it can feel like the sun is shining on you sometimes, like it's too hot. There's too much eye contact, too much talking. And sometimes it feels like they'll ask you one question. And if you blow that opportunity to say whatever you need to say, you will not get asked another question throughout the entire hang.
I'll be controversial. My take is that I think it's actually introverts, from my perception, that are less likely to ask questions.
Ooh.
Because as an extrovert, I will ask you endless questions.
Yeah, in my head, I think of extroverts as asking a lot of questions because they want to know stuff.
Yeah, it'll be a barrage. It's like the prosecutor questioning a witness on the witness stand. Mm.
That is true.
I think I've noticed with some extroverted friends, there will be a question at the beginning that's like, tell me everything. Mm-hmm. Big questions like that. Yeah. At the top of the hang where I'm just like, whoa, 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 I just woke up. This is a lot and I don't know how to answer this question.
Yeah.
So this is when I feel frustrated as an extrovert, when I'm like, why don't you share that in the moment? Why don't you share, I don't feel comfortable talking about this, or I'm not available to answer that, or like just diverting.
Yeah.
Okay, I will say I did do that once in a conversation with a friend where I'm like, when you ask me that big a question right out of the gate, my brain goes blank. And she was like, okay. And the fact that she moved on immediately, I was like, oh, well, I've been stressing out on saying that for months.
My reaction would have been cool. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you're right. It's like the muscle. It's like I have to get used to just speaking my mind more and not making it this huge buildup.
Right. Just communicate. Just say what you need.
Right.
There was a couple I interviewed. I remember that she's a high-flying consultant and she needs to vent. She's very extroverted. She called herself a flaming extrovert. And her husband's very introverted. He'd be at home, you know. And so she would call and she said, can I talk now? Because now's not a good time. She goes, I need 30 minutes. 30 minutes to just vent. So he goes, okay. And he told her when exactly. And I do this with my husband. We make appointments a lot. If I have something I really need to talk to him about. And then he's ready. And her husband was ready to hear her vent. And she just talks for 30 minutes and lets out all her shit about the clients and all frustrated. Then she feels great. He's like, okay, I listened to her. Now I can go, you know. But you have to talk about how you're communicating. And I don't think we do that enough.
Yeah, that's true, because I've lived with extroverts and I think the challenge there has been like they'll just walk in a room and start talking and kind of expect you to engage. And I'm like, I can't do this.
I do want to throw in that you all like writing.
Oh, yes.
Like you ask a question, the extrovert will go like, bop, 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 and they won't even sometimes read the whole thing you're asking, right? They might answer one question on the list.
Dragged.
But the introvert likes time to think about it. So, I mean, this is more in work situations, but it also can be with friends, right? Let's make some plans. Here are some of the questions. Rather than just kind of throwing it at them verbally. What do you all think about that?
Yeah, because I find I write way longer texts to my extroverted friends than they write to me. But I found a good middle ground for us is voice memos. Yes. I think voice memos are nice because I don't have to worry about the eye contact. I can sort of think on my own schedule and let things come to me naturally. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like they are also allowed to kind of...
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. I feel like everyone was buzzing me.
Well, I was buzzing.
Jennifer mentioned this before, that a big complaint extroverts have is that introverts can be hard to read because we're more internal and don't show as many expressions on our face. And this is why Jennifer hit the buzzer on Aparna.
I don't agree with that, Jennifer.
Wait, I'm confused. Was I doing that right now?
I don't think it was bad. You still used your eyes, but it was like you were looking away and like thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But you had said that before, that you're aware that you do that.
I know. And I almost wanted to say that I think I've given myself permission to do that more with age. Because I think when I grew up, my mom was like, make enough eye contact. So I feel like I've almost been like, you don't have to.
I think this gets to the heart of what we're talking about today, which is like the mismatch. There are differences. There are things that either side are going to do that will annoy the other side.
Right.
And how do we reconcile without having to make the introverts conform to the standards of this extroverted world?
Mm.
And then also for extroverts, do they have to come over to the introvert side? Because that also doesn't seem very fair.
I can only speak for myself, but I know that this is rooted in the hypervigilance of like, I need to know that Aparna and Yoe and like other introverts, just people in general, like me.
Yeah.
So I need to take care of what's on my side of the street. And it's just about expressing. So I remember my first interview. I used to work in for a diversity, equity, inclusion consulting company.
Mm-hmm.
And my first interview with my prospective manager, he started the conversation by saying, hey, it's the end of the day in New York here, and it's just been a long day. My lack of energy is not a reflection of my excitement to meet you. And my head was completely blown. And I was like, this is a place that I want to work at.
Yeah.
For me, the bottom line is we have to talk about our personal styles. Mm. What works for us and what doesn't work for us. I mean, this works in organizations where people do user manuals on a team. I had a boss once, she said, I'm in my totally introvert side today, so don't even talk to me. And she was my best boss ever because she communicated. And she set that out for all of us to be open. And we still live in an extroverted world. And so the work that needs to be done is the extroverts need to stop and understand more about introversion. Because you have to adapt all the time.
Mm.
I was going to ask about that because I feel like, yes, introversion is in the zeitgeist, but I don't feel like it's reached the level of popular consciousness with extroverts yet.
I mean, I think that extroverts and introverts, it's pretty ubiquitous. But if you were to ask me a yes or no question around do extroverts empathize enough with introverts? Absolutely not. Like, are we aware of what introverts are going through? 100% not.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely.
Oh, wow.
There are glimmers of hope on the horizon.
For some reason, this is healing.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like in a defensive crouch, like I have to justify my position to extroverts all the time. It feels really nice to hear that. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we're not giving you guys ground. Just hearing that feels really validating.
Yeah, because we don't feel the pain, you know? I was just going to say one other thing because I have to get it in. Come on, somebody buzz me.
I know. I was
both the two of you are doing it. All right, I'll save my comment.
No, Jennifer, go ahead.
No.
Okay.
No, now I already forgot what it is. No.
All right, final question. I wanted to give the space to you, Aparna. Are there any questions you're curious about asking the extroverts in the room?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I mean, you've both alluded to these things, but I guess what does keep you invested in these introvert friendships, despite all the, I know you're married to an introvert, Jen, but like,
yeah,
I think based on my own insecurities about not seeming interesting or quick enough, I guess seeing the other side of how that's being received would be fascinating to hear.
Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. You guys calm me down, okay? Mm. You get me to think. Focus is a big thing that I'm able to do. I met with a friend yesterday, we're coffee with all these ideas, and he's like, okay, let's start from the beginning. And right then I could just kind of breathe, you know?
Yeah.
And you just model how you can be alone and be with yourself, love yourself. Mm. To me, I learn a lot from my friends and just watching the way they operate, and certainly my husband. And then I started becoming more comfortable with that, just being by myself and not having to always have dates with people or doing things. Mm. I could go on and on, but those are just initial thoughts.
I mean, frankly, I have a ton of envy. I'm envious of people that don't need to like constantly pack their schedule. The fact that like I'm constantly concerned about how many people are texting me and how many people I have to respond to. And it's almost like a checklist in my brain, and the notion of like, okay, if I didn't need to have that social battery energized by other people and was more self-energized, what would my life look like? How much work could I get done? How much more productive could I be?
That was really nice to hear. I'm finding myself getting emotional. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would be. Yeah, that was really nice. I also feel envious for the other side a lot of the time.
Yes.
The fast talking, the fast thinking, being comfortable with extemporaneous speaking would be very helpful for my profession. So I'm extremely jealous about that. The energy, the stamina.
Yes.
I get so much good gossip in my life. I get invited to fun parties. Mm-hmm. And there's just like a zest for life because I'm often tired. And I'm just like, it's too much. Life is too much. But like the extroverts in my life, like they want more.
Mm-hmm. As an introvert, the same point we were saying earlier about maybe too much eye contact or something where it's like your light is bright on us, it still feels so nice to be in that beam, you know, like you feel invigorated by that light shining on you.
That's so beautiful what you listed there. I got emotional too. And I think, I wonder what it would be like if we told each other that more. Right? Because I had an experience a few weeks ago when I did this exercise in this conference and they asked us to come up with a story. And I thought about my husband and how one time he had led me, I don't have to go through the whole thing, but how he had led me out of the dark on the phone. I was lost in the hills of Pennsylvania. I got very emotional. I was like, well, that's his quiet introverted side sitting at home with maps saying like, do you see a river ahead? Like, what do you see? And I was like, I have no idea. I see a cow. And I was like, that's how he shows me love. Yeah. And then I thought of all these other things that I started talking to my daughters and they're like, oh God, that's what dad does. He's always texting us where our plane is, where we're, you know, he's like, that's how he shows his love. That's an introvert. Okay. He's like following everything and he's like deep into it. And I'm like, I never thanked him for it in all these years, you know? So it just seems to me I can thank my friends too for what they give me and how good that would feel. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm glad you joined me for this special conversation. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend or a colleague who'd appreciate learning more about the power of introverts and extroverts working together. Stay tuned. Season 4 of The Introvert Ally launches in January with fresh guests, inspiring stories, and practical ideas for creating introvert-friendly workplaces. And don't forget to pick up a copy of my book, The Genius of Opposites, How Introverts and Extroverts Create Extraordinary Results Together.